Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight. Understanding what God expects helps me grow in my spiritual life. Amen. Understanding what God expects helps me grow in my spiritual life. You can be seated. Let me ask you a few questions here. Do you feel like sometimes you're in a spiritual rut? Do you wonder why you haven't grown spiritually? Are you covering the same ground in your Christian walk? Do you wonder why, even though you are learning about Jesus, you are not living like him? See, are you sometimes saying to yourself, I've been a Christian for years, but I don't feel any closer to Christ today than I did years ago? Well, then the Bible talks about, folks, it talks about life transformation. And we hear others tell how that their lives have changed. And for many of us, we really do want, we maybe even desperately want change. But we see so little of it in personality. It makes you ask, why? Well, maybe part of the problem is some faulty assumptions. Sometimes we have faulty assumptions, and when you really look into it, you find out that you're way off base. Right? So there's myths sometimes that we just have heard, and we just grab a hold of those things, and it's about life change. Life change happens as salvation. There was a comedian by the name of Yako Smirnoff. He said that when we first came to the United States from Russia, he wasn't prepared for the incredible variety of instant products that was available in American grocery stores. He says, on his way, on my first shopping trip, he said, I saw powdered milk, and you just add water, and you get milk. He said, then I saw powdered orange juice, and you just add water, and you get orange juice. He said, then I saw baby powder, and I thought to myself, what a country. See, one of the most basic assumptions made about life change is that it happens instantly at salvation. All right? When we get saved, you know, people, everything's going to change for me. When people get saved, they think that by being a Christian, their habits, they think that by being a Christian, their attitudes and their character is going to change immediately. And since Christ alters a person's eternal destiny at salvation, so immediate life change is not only assumed, a lot of times it's expected. But see, folks, life change continues naturally over time. And here's the assumption being a Christian will translate automatically into becoming a Christian. So therefore, a five-year-old Christian will have five-year-old worth of spiritual maturity, right? Or a 10-year-old Christian will have 10 years worth of spiritual maturity, and so on and so on. But see, folks, the assumption, hear me, the assumption, and I'm saying assumption, is that faith cannot help but grow with time, and it is time alone that is required. People assume these kind of things. But life change is achieved largely by an act of the will. You got to want to change. Okay? You know, listen, if God wanted robots, he would have made us that way. But God wants you to want to grow in him. All right? And so therefore, you got to become, I want to become more like Christ. The idea that what doesn't happen naturally over time takes place by trying. And the harder we try, the more we will grow. You see, if we decide to live a certain way and really focus on living for God, a determined behavior will result from that. Now, look, folks, life change is best accomplished alone. A personal relationship with Christ has become synonymous with a private relationship with Jesus Christ. But just get along with God. Have your personal devotions, and one's life will automatically change. Now, the right formula for life change. You see, there's a better way exists, the correct way. And Paul outlined this. We read it in Philippians 2. Paul explains that the Christian life is not, it's not a series of ups and downs. It is a process of ins and outs. God works in us while we work out. More of him and less of me. Amen? It is a partnership, folks, that involving God, the individual believer, the individual teachers, and the fellow believers. And it is a process where God works in, we work out, teachers work with, and believers work together. It can be stated in a sentence. Amen. Life change begins with God, and it is about training, not trying. It requires teaching, and it is a team effort. Life change begins with God. See, God, folks, God has a role in the life change process. We partner with God. God is always at work in us. All right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God works in us before he can work through us. God's got to get us to a point. You know, when you go to a job, all right, and you're hiring on, they don't just plug you in somewhere and say, have fun. They put you through training. At least you're supposed to, right? And they train you how they want you to run a machine or to do whatever it is that they're asking you to do. They train you. And folks, why so often do we think we just come here and be saved and then all of a sudden everything ought to be hunky-dory? No, it's a training process to become what God wants us to be so that he can work through us. Amen? So he works in us so he can work through us. The English word energy comes from the word translated work in verse 13 that we read. It is God's divine energy at work in us and through us. So when we are saved, our eternal destiny is altered. There is a radical restoration, reorientation of priorities. A radical reorientation of our priorities. There is a new life purpose, and there is an indwelling Holy Ghost. Now, folks, rather than instant liberation from every bad habit or every character flaw that we've ever possessed, what takes place is more like a landing on an army on a beach and the routing out of the enemy as the army makes its way inland. At salvation, God establishes a beachhead. Total occupation will come in time as the other parts of the formula are implemented. Just like that army gets on that beach and they go out and they start trying to get rid of the enemy. And they find them tucked away over here, and find them over here in this cave, in this dugout hole, and all this kind of stuff. They little by little, and that's how it is when God works in our lives. Little by little, He's working in our life to get rid of things. Oh, we found something over here that needs to go. Eradicate it. Get rid of it. Amen. As salvation, God establishes that beachhead, so that occupation will come in time. Another way of looking at it is the event of salvation is best seen in the beginning of a journey as God begins to work His work in us that will lead us to life change. So just as there is a process that led up to our conversion, so is there a process that moves us forward in life change. As God begins to work in us, He uses three kinds of tools in the process. God uses the Bible to bring about life change. Through His Word, He teaches us how to live. Amen? There's a story of a converted cannibal in South Sea Islands who was sitting by a large pot reading his Bible when an anthropologist wearing a pith helmet approached him and asked, "What are you doing?" And the native replied, "I'm reading the Bible." And the anthropologist scoffed and said, "Don't you know that that modern civilized man had rejected that book? It's nothing but a pack of lies, and you shouldn't waste your time reading that book." To which the cannibal looked at him from head to toe and slowly replied, "Sir, if it weren't for this book, you'd be in that pot." Come on. The Word of God had changed his life. And it also, folks, changed his appetite. Come on. If you are serious about changing your life, you're going to have to live according to the Bible. See, you will need to read it. You will need to study it. You will need to memorize it. You need to meditate on it. And you need to apply it. Now, God also uses the Holy Spirit to change us. The Holy Spirit provides the power. It provides the conviction. And it provides the direction for life change. But too often, we don't like how it points us. We don't like what it tells us. The Holy Spirit, folks, acts like an internal warning system when we begin to make wrong steps. And like an applauding crowd when we take the right steps toward becoming like Jesus in life change. You see, God's number one purpose in life is to make us like Himself. Amen. We want to be more like Jesus, right? So the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make the child of God more like Him. And God also uses circumstances to change us. God knows how to get our attention, doesn't He? The circumstances are the problems. They're the pressures. They're the heartaches. They're the difficulties. And there's the stress of life. Those things get our attention. You see, suffering gets our attention, doesn't it? Amen? C.S. Lewis said this. He said that God whispers to us in our pleasure, but shouts to us in our pain. Amen? The painful circumstances of life, whether we bring them on ourselves or other people cause them or the devil incites them, they are used by God, folks, to help us grow in likeness to His Son. Amen? Life change is about training. It's not about trying. All right? Now, look at this tonight, folks. Paul, he doesn't say work for your salvation. To work for something means to earn it, to deserve it, or to merit it. The Bible clearly teaches us that salvation is not something we have to work for, right? It's a free gift. It's God's grace given to us. So Paul is not implying that we devise our own plan of salvation. He's not saying that. Or that we work into the right relationship of work a full completion, such as working out a problem in math. But Paul's day, in his day, it was also used for working in a mine, or that is, getting out of the mine all the variables that one could possibly get. The word was also used for working a field so as to get the greatest harvest possible. Now, today, we use the word to describe physical exercise as we get into the best possible shape. You worked out. So when Paul says work out your salvation, he's talking about a spiritual workout. He's talking about a spiritual training. When you work out and you do it continuous enough and well enough, you get results. But just like sometimes in the walk with God, and just like in working out, some people give up way too soon. Right? And they don't get the results that they want. And it's the same way with living for God. If you don't work things out and start applying things to your life, you're not going to get the results that you thought you was going to get. So merely trying to experience life change can never bring about life change. You have to do it. Not just try it. You have to do it. And I can try very hard to bench press 300 pounds. But that isn't what will enable me to do it. You will only be able to bench 300 pounds by training to bench 300 pounds. Training requires discipline. To truly live a Christ-like life, we have to order our lives around those activities, those disciplines, and practices that were molded by Jesus. So the disciplines or prayers or reading the word or worship or giving, tithing, serving, all the other essential accomplishments, the life changes that we desire. Life, folks, life change requires also teaching. Change rarely happens in a vacuum. Oftentimes, folks, we need the advice and wisdom of others. For Christian growth, God's plan includes the counsel and the guidance of his teachers. Paul was a teacher to the Philippians. He had modeled for them and instructed them in Christ-like living. He was the teacher. They were the students. He was faithful to his calling. They were obedient to his instructions. So optimal growth occurs when we fall under someone who knows something that we don't. Right? Or someone that has experienced in an area that we don't and is willing to share this knowledge with us. And that is the role of a teacher. And a learner, and the learner. Openness to the thought and insight and direction of a teacher is sure sign of maturity. Amen? So many people, they come to you, they want you to tell them something, and they don't like what you tell them, and they just decide, I don't need that. But they continue to do the same things over and over and over. You need the thoughts and the insight and the direction of a teacher. And if you listen to those things and you apply it to your life, it is a sign of maturity. And the quality of teachableness, hear this, folks, the quality of teachableness is necessary if you want life change. If you're not teachable, you're not going to have life change. You will not happen. You have to be teachable. It's necessary for life change. John Wooden said this, a great basketball coach, He said, it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. Right? So many people, oh, I know better. I don't like what they just told me. I know better. Okay. It's what you learn after you know it all that's what counts. One of the greatest tragedies of the people of God, both biblically and historically, has been their insistence on not following their appointed, installed, and ordinance of leaders. That was the problem. Many times when you read through the Word of God, the people of God did not follow what their leaders told them. They didn't listen to what their leaders told them. So the responsibility of the teacher is to prepare and to present the truth. The learner's responsibility is to accept and to apply the truth, right? So the teacher is responsible to the learner, but the teacher is not responsible for the learner. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gave us what we need to perfect us as saints. He gave us what we need to help us to become workers in the ministry, to edify the body of Christ. Amen? Now, life change, folks, is a team effort. Amen? We talked about things Sunday as they were fellowship. Okay? Life change is a team effort. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, or with respect and trembling. See, whenever you see therefore, you must ask, what is it there for? Right? Why is it there? Therefore is a hinge word. God expressed his therefore in verse 9, Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. So therefore, in verse 12, is our therefore. It makes sense, doesn't it? So understanding what God has done for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we therefore engage in spiritual growth and vitality and gratitude for the sacrifice. And we engage in spiritual growth in relationship with other believers. Just as we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are to have a relationship with like-minded believers who are people who are pursuing this intimate relationship with Christ, seeking to become more and more like him. Amen? So we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we have a relationship with the brothers and sisters, people who want to be like him, like-mindedness. Life change, folks, is highly relational. Anyone know of someone who ever joined AA? Anybody? A couple people here? Did it change them? For the most part, if they followed what they were asked to do, they became a better person. But understand this. If you take Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, this group has a startling record for authentic life change. They really do. Lives devastated and controlled by the abuse of alcohol discover radical transformations through the AA program. Many would say that the secret to this buddy system. You see, folks, if a member feels the urge to drink, that person is supposed to call someone who will support his or her effort not to do so. Every aspect of Alcoholics Anonymous is saturated, hear me, with the relational element. Participants meet weekly as groups for sharing and support. There are small groups and individual meetings. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, capitalizes on the important relational component of true transformation. Business people, athletes talk about the power of a team. In life, folks, we all need support, and when we get it, it brings about the change that we are desperate for. So if you just take this, what I just talked to you about, AA, and you feel the urge to not want to pray, you feel the urge not want to go to church, you talk to somebody who says you need to be there, come on, go there, God will bless you, God will touch you. Come on. They call it the buddy system. We call it brother and sister. They meet weekly for sharing and support. We meet weekly several times for sharing and support. There's small groups. Come on. There's individual meetings. And AA capitalizes on the important relational component of true transformation. So do we. And so many people, oh, I don't need a small group. I don't need to be to church tonight. But yet they would tell somebody, most likely, they would tell somebody, yeah, AA is a good thing. Right? Business people, athletes talk about what? The team concept, how it helps them, how it encourages them. You know, you've heard of people that have had grown up in the hoods and, you know, had bad lives, but they got involved in sports in school and went on to become great. And that team concept, that having a coach who would get into their face and tell them, get your act together. But I don't want my pastor to tell me what I need to do. Come on. See, in life, we all need support. God made us that way. And when we get it, it brings about the change that we are desperate for. Just like anything. I've heard it said many times, AA has got a very biblical concept. Spiritual growth has never intended to be a solo event. Never. It was always intended to be team sport. That's why God created the church. In the context of relationship with other believers, we receive accountability, challenge, encouragement, and personal support. And that is why, folks, church attendance and fellowship is so critical to our spiritual growth and our development. Life change happens best in the context of relationship. Amen? Life change is a partnership. God has a part. We have a part. Teachers have a part. Fellow believers have a part. God works in. We work out. Teachers work with. And believers work together. Now, let me ask you the question I begin with again. Do you feel like you are in a spiritual rut? Do you wonder why you haven't grown spiritually? Are you covering the same ground in your Christian walk? Do you wonder why, though you are learning about Jesus, you are not living like him? Are you saying to yourself, I've been a Christian for years, but I don't feel any closer to him today than I did years ago? You see, if you're struggling with spiritual growth and little life change is occurring, then where is the breakdown? Are you partnership with God? Are you allowing God to use his tools in the Word, in the Holy Spirit, and in circumstances? Are you in training? Are you engaged in spiritual workout by employing spiritual disciplines? Are you submitting to teachers for instruction and guidance? Are you engaged with other believers to hold you accountable, to challenge you, to encourage you, and to support life change in you? Where does it come down to, folks? You have to be honest with yourself. You know, when you look at AA, one of the first things they do when it comes your turn, you say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. You have to, you can't get help, I don't care who you're with, at AA or anywhere else, until you can admit you have an issue, that you have a problem. Then you can get help. And as a Christian, we have to admit to God, God, I've made a mess of things. I have made a mess of my life, of my family, of my relationship, of my job situation, whatever it is. You have to admit to God that you need help. And he'll help you. But you have to apply his principles. Amen? That person who went to AA and got hooked up with a team partner or a buddy system or whatever you want to call it, if he does not call that person when he's in that time of need, he's not going to get the help. In the same way with Christians, folks, if you do not call your brother or sister, you do not call on God, you do not call on your pastor or whatever your teacher is, you're not going to get the help you need and you're not going to grow spiritually. And sometimes we're so good at wanting to blame everybody, everything else and everybody else for our problems when it is us. We're not calling for what we need to call for. We're not asking for help. We're not wanting to cooperate with what the pastor's trying to teach and what he's trying to push into church and encourage you to be a part of. It's there for a reason. Amen? We need it. And we need to admit, I'm Bill Roberts, and I'm a sinner because I have sinned. Come on. Whatever it is, we have to be honest with ourselves and with God that we need him. And you know what it is? I'll tell you what, folks. I need him every day. Now, I don't believe that, you know, some of these people say, well, I sin every day, and he forgives me. That's nonsense. I mean, if you're sinning every day, you got real bad issues. You need to listen to what I talk to you about tonight. But we do mess up. We do. We all do. But I don't believe it has to be every day. Come on. You know, the more you, as a baby learns to walk, the less they fall. And that's why we're there to encourage them. Come on, you can do this. Get up. We don't kick them when they're down. Get up. You can do this. And every day you take more steps and you fall less. And that's the way it is with our walk with God. Every day we keep getting up and say, God, I'm going to try this again today. I'm going to live for you today. I'm going to be what you want me to be. Okay? And we've got phone numbers for everybody in the church. If you want them, you can have them. Amen. You can call people. Pray for me. I need your help. Can I come over? Can we visit? Can we do this? Can we do that? Hey, I want to be in church tonight. Folks, if somebody's not here, you need to let them know. They need to be in church on Wednesday night to hear the word of God. Encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? Amen? All right. Thank you. All right. Let's stand. The more we understand what God expects from us, it helps us grow in our spiritual life. Amen? So understand what God wants for you. Get in the Word. Understand what he wants for you and live how he wants you to live. You can do it, but you got to want to change. You got to want to be used of God. You got to want to be a great Christian. Amen? You got to want to help your neighbors, your family members, your coworkers. You got to want to do this. And if we don't want to do these things, we need to ask ourselves, are we really wanting to live for God? Really? Do we want to pick and choose what we want to do is living for God? Do you think that God's going to accept that when we stand before him? Well, God, I just didn't think that was necessary. Really? It was in my word. Your pastor taught it. But God, you know, you think God's going to accept that? Anybody really think that? I don't think so. His word is there for a reason. None of it we should take lightly. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. I pray that you help apply this to your life. Greet our guest. And folks, have a great evening. God bless you.